You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. 13-4, final score for the Minnesota Vikings. And that will do it for the regular season. Vikings will be in the three seed as we do this, but this is the Locked On Vikings postcast. We're doing this right after the game, so we don't know how the San Francisco game goes. We'll be watching that with a keen eye. Go David Blau. I am here with Luke Spinman, filling in for Sam Ekstrom on the Locked On Vikings postcast. We do these after every single game, so make sure you come over to the Locked On Minnesota Sports YouTube page and join us for a little bit of a recap. Obviously not the most exciting day of the season by any means, relatively meaningless. Vikings pull their starters by halftime. And that, I guess, is going to be the first question is, did the Vikings do this right, pulling their starters at halftime? Should they have played more, less? How do you feel, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so tough to get like a real in-depth, accurate player evaluation in a game like this. Obviously, you're hoping to get some more momentum heading into the playoffs with a win. We all wanted that. The offense did move the ball pretty well all day. I think they only punted, what, one time?
And
that
was,
yeah, I think they punted one time. That was with like a minute left. But just from like a pure evaluation standpoint, the Bears just don't have the talent, man. I mean, that's just clearly one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And that was before they traded guys like Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith. And so, you know, I called them a JV team this week on the football party. That's what I meant, exactly what you saw today. Yep. But nonetheless,
they were a JV team.
Nonetheless, I think there was some good things the Vikings did well. They can come away with feeling good about heading into their playoff game versus the Giants next week. I think, you know, when it comes down to playing those guys a little bit more, you know, obviously we want to play as much as we can. I think number one, though, you just want to get out of there healthy. I think Chandon Sullivan got a little banged up at the end. They had to go to an injury timeout. It's just those moments where you hold your breath and like, maybe Chandon Sullivan's not a blue chip caliber player, but he's a starter. He's your nickelback starter. And it's like, you don't want to lose any of those guys in a game like this. The second and you know, biggest thing outside of the health, I think we talked about it all week, was just trying to grow that relationship and chemistry between Chris Reed, who it sounds like they're going to want to roll with from here on out, unless, you know, he takes a big step back, and Kirk Cousins. How's their timing? How's their cadence? The connection, the chemistry, things like that, right? All the cliches. That was the big thing outside of the health. So yeah, it would have been nice to see, you know, maybe some guys play a little bit longer, but at the same time, nice to see some of those guys get some rest, and guys like Harrison Smith and Zadarius, who weren't even active for the game as well.
Right, and to all of that, so you get one injury, which is Chandon Sullivan, and he was playing in the second half because they don't have a backup nickel on the roster.
Right.
Theo Jackson, I guess, should have been it. He was the guy who came in at the end of the Packers game when they had their twos in. But that's the only one, which is kind of funny because a few years ago, you remember Mackenzie Alexander playing in a meaningless game, gets hurt, gets really mad about it, doesn't even re-sign because he took less money to go elsewhere because of it.
That's right.
Yeah, so fun parallels, but we'll hopefully Chandon Sullivan is okay. He ended up walking off the field under his own power. We'll see what it is—a little weird friendly fire hit, the kind of thing that happens. Mm-hmm. And then to the point about Chris Reed, I thought Chris Reed did okay. I clocked one play where he did really bad. Was it the Armin Watts rush? Yeah, right at the beginning.
Was that one?
Yeah. I only clocked one bad play in the live watch last week too, and then it turned out that there were like six. So great assault.
Right.
But no snap count issues with the ones. There was one false start on Oli Udo. I didn't catch if that was a snap thing or if it was just Oli Udo. But definitely feels like that problem is kind of put away now. They probably emphasized it and made a big deal of it. And you're going to have Chris Reed in. Chris Reed was also on the right side of a huge Alexander Mattison highlight run where they just ran it. I think it was just duo, and they just double teamed somebody 15 yards down the field, and Alexander Mattison kept pushing, one of those soul snatching runs. Chris Reed right at the point of it. So
love it. Yeah.
Some space, get Irv Smith going a little bit. That's kind of what you want out of a game like this. And then of course to win, make San Francisco take the game seriously. You don't want them to be able to, now they can't pull their starters unless they take the three seed.
Right. No, a lot of good points there. I was just going to touch on, yeah, I'm with you. I thought Chris Reed pretty dang solid for the most part. Gave up that one pressure, as you mentioned, to Watts, but overall, like, complete 180 from what we saw last week. And that's all you wanted to see, the big thing, because, you know, that was the big question mark again, outside the health and everything else. Yeah. You get in some player evaluation standpoints, guys that we want to know about and see a little bit more tape and film going into the off season from evaluation for Kwesi and the coaches. But I thought Reed looked pretty solid for the most part. So that was super encouraging. And then just in general, taking a step back and looking at this game again, not the most dramatic, exciting game. Vikings fans have already got to see a couple of those, obviously earlier in the year, the Colts game, the Bills game. This was not that type of week. We knew that going in. But when you look at a big picture, Vikings have been in plenty of games the past 8-10 years under Zimmer where the season has come down to the wire and you got to win an in situation. Nice to kind of be in this situation where you already know your seeding for the most part, what, 98%. We'll see what San Francisco does. Of course, weirder things have happened.
It just kicked off as we are recording.
Okay. They did start. Okay. But you know, all in all, yeah, maybe not the most dramatic, fun, entertaining game, but kind of nice to be in that situation for once than where we usually are over those last 7-8 years under Zimmer, where it's like those last game or two, you got to win an in. So yeah, it was nice from a player evaluation standpoint, but I thought, again, and we'll get into it, but I thought they did some good things specifically on offense.
And I think this is the week where we've all spent a lot of time focusing on, you know, the human element of football, especially for the backup types, you know, the William Quenkus of the world who have a couple of highlight plays, get a special teams highlight play, you know, earn his camp invite next year, that totally. Kind of thing. And on the flip side of it, Chris Boyd, who is still kind of, I believe he's a pending free agent, right?
Yes.
Getting beat a couple times, missing a tackle, giving up a first down, that kind of stuff doesn't affect the game. The Vikings still win by 2 scores, but that's something that is going, that's not the taste you want to leave in an evaluator's mouth in the last game of the season, right? Made a great special teams play though as a punt gunner though, so that'll help. So that's also the kind of stuff that a game like this really does, that does affect the Vikings, is you get a look at those guys and then just kind of, yeah, building some momentum for guys like Chris Reed and Irv Smith. But there are a few things that I do want to, I've got some gripes, all right? I've got some things that I'm not very happy about, but I'll get into those. But first, you can make games like this a little more interesting if you want with BetOnline. You could even run over right now, even though all of the afternoon games have kicked off, you could still run over right now to BetOnline and bet on them live. Bet on them after the first quarter, second quarter, bet on the next play, next drive, whatever. And of course, you can go bet on the Timberwolves or the Wild, who just came off of a completely insane game against the Sabres. You can go make all of those bets at BetOnline, where the game starts. And thank you so much to BetOnline for sponsoring this postcast. AJ Green just scored a breakaway touchdown against the Niners. Cardinals.
Stop it.
7-0. Let's go.
Stop it. Let's go.
This is going to age so funny for people who listen to this later. Like people who listen to the postcast like later tonight and who know the result. And they're gonna
well,
lose,
and,
like,
and it's of course so and ironic like, and funny because we've spent all week convincing ourselves why the number 3 seed's actually better than the number 2 seed.
Yeah, right.
And we want the Giants. We match up better. We don't want to play the red hot Packers as the 2, whatever. And then sure enough, look at how excited we get, obviously, when the Cardinals get up 7-0. But a lot of
the
game
David
to play.
Wild play. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go, baby. I love it.
I want the Packers. They need to get shut up in US Bank Stadium.
That would be great. That would be great. I feel so much better about any of those games when it's in the bank, in the backyard, at home. I feel a lot better about any of those matchups for sure.
Right. And they just missed the extra point, so 6-0. But I've got some gripes with the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah, let me have it. Yep. Lay it on me.
First off, You can't be Duke Shelley talking about a revenge game, going into this with the fire of fires, and then dog the tackle, not even grab at the ankles as Velus Jones jumps over you for an eventual touchdown, thinking he had stepped out of bounds. Play through the whistle, bro. Come on. And the same goes for Hicks and Hunter and Bynum and everybody else that looked like they kind of gave up on that play Velus Jones streaked by them, tiptoeing down the end zone. That's the kind of stuff. You know, we can't have Dalvin Cook fumbling in the playoffs, right? You can't have that kind of stuff. You can't have that clock debacle at the end of the half. The Vikings have been so good in those situations this year. But they let their clock run down to 25 seconds with 2 timeouts and essentially 2 plays left. I think that is absolutely the right amount of time. Mm-hmm. You got 2 timeouts anyways. You only have 2 downs. It's goal to go. Bears will never get the ball back, right? But checking down underneath in that situation after using those 2 timeouts, checking down underneath, not getting your fire drill out. You did not have enough time for a fire drill anyways. They take the points off the board. You got to just be aware that that is not an acceptable thing to do. That's on Cousins. And Cousins didn't have, there were two delay of game penalties. One seemed to be on the refs. They were really upset. They wanted them to pump up the play clock. And the other one, Kirk Cousins, I didn't hear a snap count. Now, maybe they were doing something silent that I didn't know, but I didn't hear him say anything. And it's not like the Bears fans were exactly raucous enough to drown it out. So that's the kind of, that's easy stuff, right? There's a giant play, know the play clock, right? Know where the game clock is at and play through the whistle. Use your eyes and ears to read numbers and hear sounds. And get your shoes on. These are my gripes in the last 2 weeks of the Vikings. Things that most kindergartners can handle.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, you hit it right on the head. That is their bread and butter. We talked to Blake Brandel a few weeks ago, maybe 5-6 weeks ago when he was on Superior Sports Talk. He said, we spend a chunk of every day on those situational, minutes, not just the final 2 minute, but like before the half, just like the situation they were in, Luke. So that was certainly weird, a little uncharacteristic, inexcusable, not only on KOC's part, but Kirk and the entire play design itself. But I want to ask you, like, when you just take a step back and look at the plays, maybe the lack of aggression, a lot of run calls in there, which, makes sense, I guess. But do you think it was more KOC just wasn't showing anything, wasn't going to get into his bag of tricks, super, not much aggressiveness at all after that Thielen touchdown? He's going to want to let it rip next weekend. Or do you got a problem with some of the play calling down in the red zone against, what we already called, maybe a JV team that was trying to tank as well? Because there's probably two sides of the coin there. But I'm just curious where you kind of lay there on what side of the fence as far as maybe just was it more lack of execution? Or do you think they just didn't really want to step on the throat or step on the gas or get into KOC's bag of tricks at all today?
Yeah, I think a lot of that's the twos, right? Because they had five that's possessions true. In the first half, and they all moved the ball really well. One ended in a fumble, the other one ended on that halftime thing, and the other three were scores. So with the ones out, I think Armin Watts was a marked man. That's probably my assessment of it, because they were running for like eight a pop on him.
That was wild.
Just kept running directly at Armon Watts and moving him out. I think Ezra Cleveland kicked a lot of tail today. And then he got pulled at halftime, which I think he deserved. So yeah, that probably is more of a personnel. The Bears just don't have dudes up front, and let's just run it down their throats. Mm-hmm. And we can just run duo on them all day, not try and get first
downs.
Don't
need to get creative. There doesn't need to be much imagination. Yeah.
Right. You don't. And when you don't need it, like as a defense, when they're doing that to you, when they're doing what the Vikings did to the Bears today, there is no answer. There's no adjustment you can make. There's no flip around. There's no do a different front or a different way. Like if they're just like beating you up, there is nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. You just lose. And I think that's where we were at halftime. And I think with a little bit better execution, they could have been up by 20. 24 at halftime if they didn't screw up some of the easiest stuff. So that's really where I'm at. And then second half, you get the twos out there. Okay, Nick Mullins threw a couple passes he probably shouldn't think he can get away with, threw a pick, like okay, whatever,
whatever. Yeah
49er touchdown, they tie it right back up, extra point pending.
Okay, there you go. That was quick. That was fun while it lasted. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. I just real quick here, I don't want to, step on your toes here too much. I know we'll get into a little bit more deep dive of the actual X's and O's when the film comes out and everything on the football party this week. But we talked a lot about, again, like player evaluation. Week 17 is so huge for the front office and the coaching staff going in, trying to make some key decisions with their roster and things like that. I remember during the Zimmer era, 1 week, and it seems like, by the way, you go back and look, do they always play the Bears the last week of the season? Oh my gosh, like for the last eight seasons,
like
maybe?
Literally last year. Yeah.
Okay.
Like
it was
every
yeah.
single time. Like
it's
eight
crazy.
Of nine seasons or something.
Okay. That's wild. That can't be a coincidence there. But I remember, think about, okay, Avante Collins. All right. He had a good week in this 6-man jumbo package. Maybe he'll be included next year. We'll see what they do in the offseason. Ole Udo, Eric Wilson, backup linebacker, Holton Hilton. There's another
Alexander
one I'm forgetting.
Hollins.
Yeah. Hollins was a good one. Yeah. That's a great example. Stephen Weatherly there for a little bit. Yeah. So was there anybody today that just kind of, again, I know you have, we're 10 minutes after the game. You'll watch all the tape, look at the X's and O's and stuff. But anybody that jumped out, I mean, obviously KJ Osborne, that's an obvious one. And there was already, hey, is KJ going to be wide receiver
117 yards
two?
For him.
Yeah, is KJ, should he be wide receiver two? Should he leapfrog Thielen maybe next year? We'll see what happens with that. But maybe a little bit more an obvious one, whether KJ did much today or not. But he certainly helped his case a little bit more with, as you mentioned, buck 17, five catches. I think he had a long of like 66. So a couple big plays in there. Anybody else, though, jump out at you at all just from, you know, the you know, three and a half hours that you got to sit down and watch this team?
Well, how about Jalen Naylor? Second
for sure.
Leading receiver.
Two in a row.
Four catches.
Two games in a row.
62
solid.
Yards.
Yeah.
Coming in relief. I mean, again, coming in against, you know, kind of preseason-ish guys on the field. But he looks fast. He's running the right routes. He's catching what's thrown his way. You know, those are the basics. That's the foundation that you then build something bigger off of next year. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him take that, like, wide receiver four mantle. Maybe from Jalen Reagor, who is still under contract for through next year. I would like that'll be an interesting competition, I think.
Yeah.
Him. I thought for me, Chris Reed is the focal point, and I'm going to watch him a lot closer, but I really want to see how he did. But the O-line in general was dominant in the run game. I mean, that was a true butt kicking.
That was fun.
I know it's the Bears. I know it's, you know, but those guys are still in the NFL. Like,
right.
You know, they're not playing a college team here. And to wax them that bad with your twos, with Kyle Hinton and Vidarian Lowe out there, you're waxing them.
Right.
And running the ball down their throat with Kenny Wongu and, you know, Ty Chandler. That gives me some faith in a little bit more of the depth in the trenches. And I'm not exactly, I mean, it feels like this is going to be the first offseason in a long time where we're not going, okay, but the first priority is a guard, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, feels good. Like, all right, who's the first round centers here that maybe have some interior flexibility? John Michael Schmitz, Gophers. Okay, yeah, maybe we don't have to oppress the situation there come draft time and we start ripping out all the mock drafts and going through the big boards and everything else. You're right. O-line, a little bit tougher. Just watching it live, a lot easier to go back and really focus on them the next day or two when you're watching the All-22. But just some other guys that maybe flash a little bit. I thought Josh Metellus has just been solid all season. I mean, yeah, he doesn't have the high ceiling. Like, he's never going to be an A-plus ceiling guy, but maybe the ceiling's a B-minus B. But I thought he's played really close to his ceiling. I think he's been really solid, and it's going to be interesting. Clearly, they wanted to involve some three-safety looks this season. They worked on some three-safety packages at training camp and OTAs, assuming Lewis Seen would be in that rotation. Obviously, that wasn't the case. They plug in Josh Metellus. And he's just been solid. Again, not a Pro Bowl guy, but just solid. Obviously, Duke Shelley, you mentioned the one hiccup play, letting Velus Jones and some
pick,
other defenders.
A couple of great PBUs. I think he kind of made up his day as it went on.
There's no way they don't bring him back, right? Especially given what quarterback room could look like. You got to. So that was
he
nice and special.
He won a starting job. You got to, right?
For sure. Yeah, and not just he's got to be an inside nickel guy because he's so small. No, he's a better boundary outside corner. Sometimes you just throw your hands up and say, let's not try to figure this one out and dissect it. Guy just clearly plays better, is more comfortable, and effective on the outside, so just let him be. But again, that cornerback room scares the heck out of me going into the offseason. Just not knowing a lot. And it all starts with Patrick Peterson if he decides to come back. And if so, for what price? Would have been fun to see Brian Asamoah. I know you and I have talked about him this week. Clearly, though, I think the front office and coaching staff already knows he will be some sort of young building block there. I'm trying to think who else kind of just jumped out. Patrick Jones, again, kind of like a Josh Metellus. Just solid, man. Just a great third guy. Just a great third guy.
Yeah. Patrick Jones, I think, has cemented his place on this roster. And Kyrese Tonga, the real revenge game. He was living in the backfield. He was immovable. Kyrese Tonga has had some games like that, and I think he has earned a chance to compete with like a Jonathan Bullard for a genuine starting role.
Yeah, and when you look at the matchup, likely matchup next week, scoreboard watching right now, but versus the Giants, who obviously love to play physical at the line and love to run the ball, shoot 35, 40 times, Tonga could
be a key. Tons of problems on that interior.
Yeah, Tonga could be a key next week when you start to break down some of these games within the games. Nice to see him end his season on a high note there. And we don't know, obviously, the you know, the health of who is he filling in for? Blake Lynch, right?
James Lynch.
So Tonga could be a factor there next week and be in that rotation with Harrison Phillips and Dalvin Tomlinson.
Yeah, for
we'll
sure.
see. Maybe Ross Blacklock's back in the mix. You mentioned Bullard. So there's guys there. Odemewo, he flashed. I think he had one tackle for a loss,
big,
or at least a
yeah,
really
TFL.
Good play. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Tonga there as well.
Yeah. This is one of those games that you end up going back to a bunch of times in the offseason going, how was that guy in his one half?
No so kidding, right, right.
You end up watching this tape kind of more than you think you should, but mm-hmm. We got all the time in the world to go back for now. It's time to focus on the playoffs, focus on the maybe the Giants, if not whoever wins this 7 seed. So let's all get out of here and scoreboard watch. You can find me talking about what happens and where we end up on Lockdown Vikings on Monday. You can find both me and Luke and Sam and Arif Hassan on the Minnesota Football Party on the Lockdown Minnesota Sports channel as well. Thank y'all so much for joining the final regular season postcast. We will find a way. Both Sam and I will be in the stadium for the playoff game, so we'll find a way to get in there. But for now, we'll see you all next time. Take care, everybody.